Okay, let's get into Parsh Sefer Shoftim, Perek Tes Vav. Perek Tes Vav, we have the third of four prakim related to Shimshon. We've already had the story of Shimshon's parents. We've already had in the last Perek the first story of Shimshon and his wife, and the riddle, and giving up of the riddle, and the return of Shimshon to Eretz Canaan. In this Perek, we have the third installment of four, that Shimshon takes revenge a couple more times against the Plishtim. He's interested in getting his wife back, so he sends to his wife, the father. The girl's father says, no, she's not interested, she's already married to somebody else, but she has a sister, so you might be interested in her. Shimshon says, okay, you gave her to somebody else, now I am totally clean, I'm allowed to do whatever I'm allowed to do, because this is what you did to me. What does he do? He takes 300 foxes, and he ties them up, lights a torch in the middle, so their tails are basically on fire. They all move to the fields of the Plishtim, and the entire produce and fields of the Plishtim are lit on fire and totally destroys. The Plishtim said, who did this? They say, Shimshon. Shimshon, the son-in-law of so-and-so. The Plishtim go and they kill that man and they kill the daughter because they were the ones that caused Shimshon to get upset. And then they go up to Eretz Bnei Yisrael and they say, you know, Shimshon causes trouble. Am Yisrael go to Shimshon and say, listen, you know, you're getting us in trouble, so we have to give you over to them. So he's like, okay, so fine. They tie him up. They bring him to the Plishtim, and the tying, the ropes are obviously nothing. Shimshon rips off the ropes and kills many of the Plishtim that were entrapped against Am Yisrael. Right after that, right after he kills 1,000 men, he gets extremely thirsty. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I die now, then what's the whole purpose of my doing that to the Plishtim? So all of a sudden Hashem makes a nace, and there's water that comes from the jawbone that he used to kill them, and that is the end of the Perek. Shimshon rules during the times of the Plishtim for 20 years, right? That is that until we get to the finale, the climax of the Shimshon story, which will be in the next parak. But that's the parak in a nutshell, an overall view. So now let's get back to Parak Tezvav, the beginning, and there are a lot of different interesting and halachic issues that come up in this parak. Vayhi miyamim b'yimei ksir chitim. So it was at the time of the harvest, so we know everything was in bloom, and that's why it was even worse, that the Plishtim had everything growing, and everything was full, and everything was about to be cut, and boom, Shimshon destroyed it. Vayifkot Shimshon es ishtobi gdeizim. Shimshon goes and wants to get his wife back. He sends her, gdeizim vayomer avoa el ishti echedra. I will go and take my wife back. Velonisano aviel avo, and her father says no. Question is, we mentioned at the end of the last parak, so that Pashtus, she was not Pashtus, but one of the problems is that she was Mizana, she lived with this guy. That's what it sounds like, and the question is, how could Shimshon, was a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, again, he was a two-thirds Nazir, but that was extra, but he was a Jew. So how can we know that halacha is an Eishes Ishazinsa, she didn't get a get from him, Eishes Ishazinsa is not allowed to be with her husband. So two ideas, the Rinas Yitzchak points out this problem, and he says, number one, maybe it wasn't a Vadai, it was a Safek. We said the Gemara doesn't say explicitly, the Torah does, the Navi doesn't say explicitly, it says, Va Tehi Eishes Shimshon Lemere'ehu. Did they have Bia? Do we know? So in Shimshon's mind, maybe it wasn't a Fadeh, number one. Number two, maybe this is a Raya to Rabbeinu Tam Shita. What's Rabbeinu Tam Shita? Shita is quoted by many, it's in Tosfos Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where Tosfos there is struggling to explain, as all the other Rishonim, the Gemara's suggestion of Velidrosh Lehu De Ones Shari. Why don't you just tell the women that it's mutter for them to be ne'enas in that day where the governmental official, there was a rule that he had to have bia with all of the women before they get married. Just tell them it's mutter. What do you mean tell them it's mutter? It's not mutter, it's Gili Arayis, it's one of the big three. So how do you answer that question? How do you explain the Gemara? So Rabbeinu Tam's answer is, well, Bias Akum. Bias Akum is not Gili Arayis. Unbelievable. Tvetiras Rabbeinu Tam, Gimel Amabez and Tosfos, De'ein Chayav and Misa al Be'ilas Mitzri, De'rachmana Afgrei Lazari de Mitzri, De'chsiv, V'zir Masusim Zir Masam. And he quotes, and he even quotes a story. Rabbeinu Tam didn't just say this in the Beis Medrash, but he matir, he's Rabbeinu Tam Labas Yisrael, Shehimira, Ubala over to Golchavim, a certain Jewish woman that went off the derech totally, she lived with a guy, L'kaima L'osa Ovi Golchavim, Kishin is Gayer. And then she came back, and that guy not even converted, and they got married afterwards. What do you mean? Asur labal, asur labal. Rabbi Tam said it's okay. Alo shayach echal labal, echal labal, bevias mitzri, dahavi kibias behema. Unbelievable sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. All the other Rishonim argue. The Rivam says, no. Bias Akum Nasra Labayla. How can you say that? Either way, other answers are given by the other Rishonim. But that's another suggestion here. It says the Rinas Yislag. Maybe this story proves like Rabbeinu Tam, and that's why Shimshon would be able to go back to this woman. Okay, so either way, Shimshon wants to go back. V'lo nasano, nosano avia lavo. The father has no interest. He says, Amor amarti, kisano sanes. I thought you hated her. Right, she gave away your riddle in the last parak. V'tanela mariacha, I gave her somebody else. But listen, I have a sister. Achosa haktona tovami manage. She's even more beautiful. Why don't you take her instead? Another halachic question. Sister, he's already married to her sister. Achos Isha, you can't marry two sisters. Right, this is after the Torah was given. The answer is, these were non-Jews. And he converted, as we said from the Radak and the Rambam, he converted her, Gershon Iskar, Katan Shanola dummy. On a Daraisa level, they are not related. Okay, Midrabanan, they're related. But maybe that Takana didn't go into effect yet. But on a Daraisa level, they're not related. And therefore, the suggestion, you might say that the Plishti didn't even know the halacha, but maybe even Sad Shimshon, it would have been mutter. But Yamalam Shimshon is not interested in this. He says, Nikesi hapa mi plishtim. This time, I'm clean. This time, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Ki ose ani imam ra'ah. I'm allowed to act in this way. I'm allowed to do it because this is something that, this is what you did to me. 2 points. Number one, the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin notes, what Shimshon is about to do. The Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin says he's about to damage a tremendous amount of property of the Plishtim. Why is he allowed to do that? Because one of them, you know, the father, her father gave his wife away. Because of that, all the Plishti's fields are in danger. So says the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, in Perachav Hei, talking about the powers of Bezdin, of Dayanim, says the Rambam, in Perachav Dalid, Halacha Vav, Chav Dalid Vav. All powers of Bezdin. Yesh le Bezdin la halkos misheinim uchuyev malkos. V'la harog misheinim uchuyev misa. Right, the Bezdin is allowed to take the law into their own hands if they feel that the door needs it. Lo lavra al divrei Torah el aso siyog la Torah. V'kivin sharoen Bezdin shepartzu ha'am bedavar. If Bezdin sees that the am is parutz, yesh lahem ligdor ulachazek ha'davar. Kefi ma sheyira lahem kol ha'kol ha'rasha. Lo sheyikva halach ledoros. Right, they're allowed to do things in order to prevent temporary problems in the nation, not to be kovei halacha ledoros. And it quotes the stories from Sanhedrin when somebody who was bal nida in public gave him malchus. There was somebody who was riding on a horse on Shabbos. Right, all different stories the Gemara gives. And then the Rambam says the yesh leda and the yesh lebezdin b'chol makom b'chol zman lahalkos adam sheshmuaso rav. Somebody has rumors about himself. The yesh, and this is the key line for us. The chen yesh ladayin tamid lahafkir mamon sheyesh lo bailim uma abed zechusan kvi mashayir ligdar pirtos adas ulachazik abedik ochlichnos ilim ze. Right, a bezin has in charge of people's money. They can hefker bezin hefker. They can do whatever they want. So this is even in terms of the plishtim, right, who were out of our control, but they were being mishabed us. They were torturing us. They were causing problems for us. So that's part. And he quotes, this is hefker bezin hefker. So too, that could be what the Shimshon is based on here. He's taking the law into his own hands because there is a problem here. What exactly is the problem? Only one of them gave over his wife, but the Mefarshim explained that they all stood there and were silent. The Malbim says, why didn't they say a word? They knew this was a married woman. They knew this was Shimshon's wife, but they didn't say a word. Says the Malbim, ki bevadai na'asu hanisuin befarhesya. I'm sure that this second marriage was in public. V'lama lo michu laseis eishes ish la'acher. They didn't say a word. Even the Gnanjus believe in Gili Arayis. They have a concept. So why didn't they say a word? So they're all responsible. This was the nekama. This was the revenge that Shimshon was taking. Not that it was an isser of revenge. Maybe at the end we'll talk about that again. Was it an aveira of revenge? We know there's an isser daraisa in Parshas Kedoshim. Lo sikam v'lo sitras b'nei amecha. You're not allowed to. But first of all, it's only b'nei amecha. Right, meaning other nations that could be revenge that it is mutter. That is mutter. But again, even if you want to say that, revenge is generally not something that is a positive midah, even for other nations, but in this case, for the good of Klal Yisrael, that's what he did. So what did he do? Shimshon went, Pasuk Dalet, Vayilkot Shloshmi Ashu'alim, he took 300 foxes. Why Dafka foxes? So the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud, the Radak quotes it, foxes go backwards. Foxes walk backwards. So Shimshon was going to put all their tails together and light a torch, so if they would run straight, so then the torch would go out quickly. If they run backwards and they stay together, again, you have to check the local zoologist to find out the actual metzias, but that's what Chazal say. He says, Hashua min hagol lachzor la'achorav, v'iluva keno yezeh holech lefanav, ezeh lefanav ha'lapid nofel mibineyem. He put the torch in between, so now it's going to work because they are running straight. And that's what the Gemara even says in Sota, Yavo Shu'al, Shechozer La'achorav, V'yiframi Plishtim, Shechazru B'Shvuasam. The Shu'al who goes backwards should come and pay back the Plishtim who also went backwards on their Shvua. Which Shvua? The Shvua that Avimelech had with Avraham, that they weren't going to persecute each other, and yet, here, they were persecuting. So that's what he did. He lined to got the foxes. Vayikach lapidim, vayefen, zanav al zanav. He put tail to tail. Vayasam lapid echad. He put a torch, and all of a sudden he lit it. And all of a sudden they started running into the Gadish, into the Kama, into the Zasim, into everything. And of course, everything was totally burned down, and the Plishtim got very upset. Is this also a problem, possibly, of Tzar Bali Chaim? Right, they're lighting the torches of these poor foxes on fire. How are you allowed to do that? You're allowed to do that. Tzar Bali Chaim. How is that allowed? If you look in the Chelkas Yaakov, Yaakov Breish and Choshen Mishpat and Simon Lamadal, he asked this question, right? Why is he allowed to do it? The answer is, if there is something that is productive for people, as we know, there's no Tzar Bali Chaim. So for example, certain type of medical experiments on animals, to be able to find cures to do it in people. That's not Tzar Bali Chaim. Tzar Bali Chaim is stom torturing and putting in pain an animal that I have there's no purpose. Maybe only maybe because of my enjoyment. Right? Let's say if somebody wants to go to Tshuva, the famous Tshuva, they know to be Yehuda about hunting. Simen Yud. Right? So is one allowed to hunt? So he goes through each of the reasons potentially why hunting is a problem. And he says Tzar Bali Chaim. So he says, if you're a good hunter and you kill the animal right away, there's no Tzar Bali Chaim, because Tzar Bali Chaim is only by torturing, not hunting. He at the end goes through and says it's not a Ben Torah thing to do, because the only hunters that we know in the Torah were Esav and Nimrod. That's it. So that's not company that we want to be involved in. But anything that is constructive for people, whether it's medical, whether it's protective, so here. So that's what Shimshon was doing. This was a way to destroy all of the fields of the Plishtim. So therefore, it was something that was productive and constructive for Am Yisrael, and therefore it was allowed. Good. So everything is destroyed. But Yomer Plishtim, just one other Ha'ara. We mentioned this many times, but whenever Tzar Bali Chaim comes up, we like to mention it. Rav Asher Weiss in Vayera and other places quotes that there are at least 11 sources for Tzar Bali Chaim in the Poskin. The Gemara never quotes a pasuk. The Gemara says Tzar Bali Chaim Daraisa, but what's the source? What's the source for Tzar Bali Chaim Daraisa? So Rashi in Shabbos Kuf Chav Ches says, you learn it from the mitzvah of Prika. There's a mitzvah to unload an animal or help load an animal, right? Whatever the case is, with animals in pain. So reducing that pain of the animals, that's the source for Tzar Bali Chaim. Or the Shimon Kubetza says, quotes the Raivin about Metzia, that maybe it's learned that from the Lav of Chasima. You're not allowed to muzzle your animal. Right? Why not? Because it's a pain. The animal wants to eat, and you're not letting it eat. The Ritva quotes it's Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, maybe it's based on the pasuk by Bilam. Right? Why are you hitting me? Lama zehi ki says asoncha zel shalosh regalim. Why are you hitting me? The Sefer Charedim says it's falachta bedrachav. Right? Follow in God's path. Mahu afata. Fascinating suggestion. Maybe the Baal HaTurim writes, maybe the source is the Isser of Kilai Behema. We know you're not allowed to put two different animals on a wagon together. So according to summary shown him, that doesn't mean only two types, but it has to be one kosher, one non-kosher. Why? Why would it be limited to one kosher, one non-kosher? Because, let's say you have a horse and a cow, and the cow is busy chewing its cud, and the horse is not chewing its cud. So the horse is going to look at the cow and think it's lunchtime, but there he's not going to realize that lunch was an hour ago, and he's just chewing its cud, and that's going to give pain to the horse. So that's the makar. So there's so many makaros and others. Rachma v'kalmasov. And the shayla asked Rav Asher Weiss is, why are there so many makaros? You know what the answer is? That there's really no makar. So many makaros means that the real makar is no makar. It's just Ratzon Hashem. It's the fifth Shulchan Aruch. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want us to do. The fact that there are so many sources tell us that we're all, it's not, the, oh, they're all correct, and all the sources add something to the concept. But ultimately, it is not something that can be pinned down on one source. That's a great thought from Rav Asher Weiss. So the Plishtim come, and they get upset, and they say, who did this? It's Shimshon Chatan HaTimni, Kilokach HaShisto, and the Plishtim take the law into their own hands, and they obviously kill the father and the daughter. And then, Vayomalem Shimshon, Shimshon says, what'd you do? What'd you do? And he goes, and he hits more of them with a shoke, again, with a thigh of an animal. The Plishtim go up, and all of a sudden they start getting Am Yisrael involved. Shimshon, they say, is one of yours, so you're gonna be responsible. So they go down, 3,000 Jews go down to Shimshon in Sela Etam, and they say, Shimshon, the Plishtim are ruling over us. You're causing us problems. Maybe they realize that he's also helping save them, but right now they can't see the beyond. They can't see beyond, and they say, what are we supposed to do? Vayomru lo le'sarcha yaranu. Well, we want to tie you up. We're not going to hurt you. We're not going to touch you. We're just going to give you over to the Plishtim. He says, fine, we'll give you over to the Plishtim. So they start walking after having tied up his hands, and they give him over to the Plishtim. The basis of this discussion is a huge topic in the postgame. Where does this topic start? So it starts with a Tosefta, or a Tosefta in Trumas, a Yerushalmi in Trumos as well. And that is the following halacha. What is the Tosefta? Let's say there's a group of Jews, and a bunch of pirates and robbers come over to them and say, give us one of you, or we are going to kill you. And if you don't, we're going to kill all of you. We're going to kill all of you. Give us one of you Jews, come forward. One of you, give them over. And if not, we're going to kill all of you. What's the halacha? They all have to be killed. Right? My chazis, one's Jew's blood is not no redder than another Jew's blood. But, says the Tosefta, im yichduhu lahem. If the goyim say, give us so-and-so, kigon sheva ben bichri, like in the times later on in Navi, of sheva ben bichri, then you could give them. Then you can give him. So what does that mean? What does the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi mean? That if they ask for so-and-so, then you can. So says Reish Lakish, the Gemara means only if someone is Chayiv Misa, like Shevet Ben Bichri was Chayiv Misa, then you could give him over. But if he's not Chayiv Misa, then even if they want a specific Jew, you can't give that Jew over. And Rabbi Yochanan argues, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even if they're not, if he's not Chayiv Misa, if they're just Miyachid a Jew, then they're all going to be killed. So it's better to have one Jew killed than to have 50 Jews killed. Machlokas, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan. Who do we paskin like? So usually the rule is Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. The problem is the Rambam paskins like Reish Lakish. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, when he quotes this tragic halacha, Perek Hei Halacha Hei, he says, Nashim, because two cases. V'cheinim amru lahem, goyim. Tznu lanu echan mikem b'nahargenu. We're going to kill him. V'im lavin, if you don't give us one Jew, naru kulchem, we're going to kill all of you. Yehargu kulam al yimasru lahem, nefesh achas v'yisrael. They all have to die. V'im yichdu lahem v'amru. But if they say, tznu lanu ploni, O narogat kulchem, give us so and so, then it depends. Im yemachuyev misa kesheve ben bichri, yitnu osalahem. If he's chayev misa like sheve ben bichri, was fine. And if not, they all have to be killed. The Rambam passes like Reish Lakish, the big Shaila, the Ar Sameach, and all the Achronim ask. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan. So how can we go ask the Ar Sameach? How can the Rambam Paskin like Reish Lakish? So says the Ar Sameach, Uma, he says, even besides that, there are two questions. Number one is, how can the Rambam Paskin like Reish Lakish? One kasha. Number two is, on the story here, how did Am Yisrael give Shimshon over? Shimshon wasn't Chayim Misa. So how'd they give Shimshon over? So all different suggestions given. The Ar Sameach says, look in the Ramah in Simin Tav Chav Hei in Choshe Mishpat. What does the Ramah say in Tav Chav Hei in Choshe Mishpat? All the way at the end of Choshe Mishpat, third to last Simin, says the Ramah, Misha Metzakein Rabim, somebody who's putting the entire Jewish people in danger, or many Jews, Kagon, Sha'oseg Biziyufim, Bimakam Sha'malchiyas Makpidos, some type of thievery, Dino Kerodev, Umutr lamasr lamalchus. If he's endangering the public, then you're allowed to give him over to the authorities. Says the Ar Sameach. That's our Rambam. And that's Shimshon. Here, yeah, he wasn't Chayim Misa, but he was endangering all of Klal Yisrael. So that's why they were able to give him over. That's what the Aras HaMeach says there in Hilchos Yesodei Torah. The Malbim, right here, same kasha. The Rambam says, how did they give him over? He wasn't Chayim Misa. Number two, he says, he wasn't Chayim Misa Midin Bezdin, but Ratzalomer, Av She'inu Chayiv Midin Torah, Rach Midin Malchus. The government wanted to put him to death. And that's good enough in this situation also. Even if Bezdin, it wasn't Chayim Misa Mitam Bezdin, but it was Mitam the government, even though it was the Plishti government, they were allowed to give him over. The Radak in Shmuel Beis, this comes up there, at the end of the Sefer, mentions that maybe it's only usser if the person doesn't agree. If the person agrees, yes, I'll go, because they asked for me, in order to save everybody else, that also would be mutter. So all different suggestions, how they gave over Shimshon, if he was not Chayim Misa. Again, the other question that we're not going to deal with now is, why does the Rambam paskin like Reish Lakish in the first place, if usually the rule is paskining like Rabbi Yochanan? Okay, either way, so what happens? They bring him to the Plishtim, and right when he's there, he rips off the ropes as if they're nothing, as if they melted off of him. Vayimsa l'chi chamor teriyah. He finds a jawbone of a donkey, and vayishlach yadavei kacher, and he takes it, and he kills 1,000 Plishtim. There is a fascinating Pirkei d'Rabbi Elazar, a very early Tanaitic work, quotes that there is a very famous chamor, very famous donkey, Perek Lamed. Hishkim Avram baboker v'lokachas Yishmael v'saliyaz v'sisach b'no v'chavash es hachamor. Avram gets up early to do the akedah and he takes his donkey. Hu hachamor sharachal of Avraham, that donkey that Avram rode on, hu hachamor ben ha'ason shenivris ben ha'shmashos. That's the chamor that was created at ben ha'shmashos. That's the same donkey that Moshe rode on when he went down to Mitzrayim from Midian. And that's what the pasuk says in Zechariah. Mashiach is going to come. Ani v'rochev al hachamor. That's the chamor, says the Reb Chaim Kanievsky quotes, in Kamotzi Shel Harav, he quotes this from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in the name of the Tosefta Targum, that the lechi, this jawbone that Shimshon fought the Plishtim with, was also from that chamor. It's also from that chamor. Of course, it's Maha Kesher, whatever, this is a very, very old chamor. It's going to live all of history. So the Kamotzi Shel Harav quotes from Achronim that maybe the message is that Avram already put into this chamor Mesiris Nefesh. And when there's Mesiris Nefesh, there could be Yeshuas and salvations. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu brought it. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who carried on and brought the Geula. That's why Shimshon brought the Geula. And that's why David HaMelech will eventually bring the Geula as well. But it's all from this very same Chamor. Fascinating. So he continues. So Shimshon says, wow, I killed 1,000 people, and I'm going to call the place Ramat Lechi. Ironically, next pasuk, Vayisla Ma'od. He's dying of thirst. This Gibor, who just killed 1,000 Plishtim with a jawbone of an animal, he's dying of thirst. So in one of the Achronim, the Klei Yakar says, maybe it was because he had a little shemetz of gaiva all of a sudden. Remember, just like Dvorah had a shemetz of gaiva, and then all of a sudden she lost her nevuah, she had to say uri uri in the Shira. See here too, he says, oh, I killed 1,000 people, and all of a sudden he gets very thirsty, and he says, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you help me with this. Now I'm going to die? What's going to be? It's going to be a terrible chil Hashem. So Hashem then shows him water. Vayivka lokim es ha-machtesh. He breaks a cut in the jawbone, miraculously, and water comes out. And the parak ends off by saying that he was the shofet of Bnei Yisrael in the reign of the Plishtim, meaning the Radak points out, this was not a full salvation. Right, all the other shoftim, they created self-government, self-autonomy for all of the Jews at that time, but here they weren't. They were still under the hand of the Plishtim during the time of Shimshon, even though he helped them out a little bit and protected them from some of the subjugation that they were suffering from. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Next time, we'll pick up with the last parak relating to Shimshon, and then we get to the last two stories here in Sefer Shoftim.